The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
On today's show, we're talking about a controversial new Vancouver Police Department policy. With a new task force, they say will respond to, quote, previously low-profile calls deemed a low priority.
They're responsible for attending calls from the public, such as disturbances, suspicious circumstances, people trespassing, and mischiefs.
And now to respond to this new policy, we're talking to Pivot Legal Society, who have called out the policy, saying it attacks poor people and substance users who are entitled to use their substances safely with friends in parks instead of being alone and at risk of overdoses from opioids that are poisoned. Here's Pivot Legal Society.
Criminalization and policing campaigner, Meenakshi Mano.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Meenakshi, for joining us here on The Pulse. And I'm glad to have another co-op radio host on here with us. Your show is really great.
I haven't done it in a couple months, but yes, I'm a co-host on Stark Raven.
Yeah, we love Stark Raven here. So we're talking about your role doing work around policing and criminalization at Pivot Legal. And we just heard from the police chief of Vancouver talking about this new street disorder task force or working group that's going to respond. Tell me, what did you think when you heard about this?
I was surprised. Perhaps I shouldn't be, but I think seeing this response from the VPD that essentially creates a new layer of police enforcement for people who simply rely on public space is deeply concerning. Of course, many, many campaigns within Pivot look at how policing is an inappropriate response to systemic issues, including racism, poverty, substance use, which are being termed street disorder. And I think that it's completely out of step with what human rights organizations are calling for, but also more broadly, when you look at the survey that they're citing, it includes just under 800 respondents, less than half of which live in Vancouver.
Really? So, I mean, what kinds of crimes do you think that they're talking about here? Are they even talking about crimes? Like, it's not illegal to do drugs in public.
No, I think they are basically talking about unsightly conduct. And I do see a direct correlation to the work of groups like Safer Vancouver that have clearly really been advocating for a crackdown on people living on public space or otherwise relying on public space. They're not looking at crime, right? And they're even saying that these are low priority calls. They are people who are not engaged in any kind of criminal activity. People who are sleeping in doorways, people who are apparently, quote, scaring away customers from businesses. This is really, really concerning public policy, right? And when you look at the fact that this is basically done because less than 400 people who live in Vancouver are concerned about the issue and suddenly a team is formed, it does beg questions around what are the police's priorities and how out of step they are even with Vancouver City Council's own priorities.
It's interesting that they actually said it was for low priority crimes, or crimes that had previously been considered that, things like mischief and that sort of thing. Because presumably the priority was set, and they've changed that priority now. And I know that Vancouver police had done a fair bit of work around, for instance, asking police not to enforce sex work laws or to respond to businesses complaining about that sort of thing, the same for fentanyl-related crime. I'm wondering if this contradicts the actual Vancouver Police Department's own goals or values.
It's a good question, David, and I don't know that I can speak to what their values are, right? They are a law enforcement agency.
Yes.
And as long as poverty is criminalized or different forms of surviving poverty are criminalized, their mandate is to enforce the criminal code, bylaws. I think it begs a larger question around the nature of policing and how police are now kind of stepping in as street-based social workers, bylaw officers, just kind of like people who brush people along on the street. And I do wonder why. They've clearly identified several neighborhoods, the downtown East Side, Chinatown, Gastown, and the kind of lower Granville Entertainment District.
So I'm wondering, you know, I guess I should have said instead of values, commitments, because they had made a commitment to not hassling people and that sort of thing. It seems like this is a bit of a setback, even as people are starting to demand defund the police or start putting resources for social workers on mental health issues, not police officers.
Absolutely. I mean, from the beginning of the dual public health crisis, Pivot has been advocating for non-enforcement. We particularly recognize how policing is part of or one of the key drivers of the drug poisoning crisis that we're in. Couple that with a COVID-19 public health emergency, and I think like an increased police presence is really going to drive vulnerable folks even more underground in a time when they have less and less access to social services, peer resources, etc.
So tell me a little bit about kind of Pivot's demands before this policy came into place. What were you working on around policing in Vancouver?
So we have been advocating for the decriminalization of simple possession. Right now, we do hear from the VPD that they don't prioritize enforcement, but that's a totally discretionary move. We're looking for some greater commitment from both the City of Vancouver, the province, and, you know, of course, federally, right, that could grant a far-reaching change to the criminal laws that govern possession. We've also highlighted the particular concerns of law enforcement and their involvement in managing the public health emergency. So we're in this moment right now where we're seeing a return to more restrictive conditions. The fact that police can enforce public health orders, again, is particularly concerning for folks who rely on public space, folks who rely on supportive housing or other social housing programs, people who may need to congregate because they actually don't have anywhere else to go. And, you know, just the constant fears around having police enforcement of health sets up certain communities, of course, Black and Indigenous, as well as low-income communities and people who have mental health issues, right? We know that those communities are vulnerable when they are interacting with the police.
So tell me, what are you going to be doing about this new task force? What do you think should happen with it?
We are definitely going to respond to the creation of this team. I can't quite speak to what our approach will be, but I can say I've been in conversation with the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users, VANDU, to determine what's an appropriate response, given that this is clearly something that concerns the VANDU membership.
You mentioned kind of the Safer Vancouver groups and some of these homeowner groups in the west side of the city, and also Yale Town and Strathcona. And I'm wondering, you know, does the media have a role in kind of playing this up or in kind of putting pressure on the police to have started something like this, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, when we talk about criminalization, it's a process, and it's a process that also is created by what people see in the mainstream media, attention-grabbing headlines about incidents at tent cities, and of course, you know, the total flurry over a sanctioned overdose prevention site being set up on Seymour Street. I think that we are entering, like, you know, we collectively as a society, and especially non-Black and non-Indigenous folks, are entering a conversation way too late about the harms of policing. And we do have to unpack how we are all carrying different stigma and bias that leads us to believe that policing is the most appropriate response to things like, quote, street disorder. You know, Pivot's approach has been advocating with the VPD to cease over-policing of people who use drugs, to minimize the policing of informal economies. You mentioned sex workers as well as people who vend on the street. Cease policing of unsheltered people. So that includes things like moving people along pursuant to city bylaws that prohibit sheltering in tents and parks. And just generally, we know we're in a public health emergency. We know that settings like jails put people at risk of COVID, and so minimizing contact with the criminal justice system, right? Frontline officers do have the ability to exercise discretion. We would hope that that discretion would favor non-carceral approaches rather than what we're seeing, including with the creation of this team, right, which is producing a new layer of criminalization.
Well, I really wanted to thank you for your time, and actually thanks for joining us, and look forward to hearing you again on the radio.
Thanks so much for the interview, David, and
have a
good one.
Bye-bye.
And that was the Pivot Legal Society responding to the new Vancouver Police Department task force.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.